Michael.
Patrick. You just like to surprise me sometimes.
Sometimes.
I sit and think, "What? How's he going to do it?
Yeah, I sit and think the same thing. How am I going to say hi this time?
The pressure's more on you, but right there, I think.
Maybe. It's all right. I'll get through it. So, we have our good friend CJ Chilvers on again.
Hey, howdy.
Hi, CJ.
Hi.
As promised, he was on a previous episode talking about being a lesser photographer. And now we have him back on to talk about how to be a lesser Mac owner.
I like that. That was a good link.
Yeah, you know, I'm savvy that way. So, CJ, here's the deal.
Yeah.
You may have heard these before. Mm-hmm. You may not have. But
no,
I'm going to lay out the premise. Oh, okay. Well, I got to lay it out for the listeners. I mean, this could be someone's first time tuning into the podcast. And
I'm very sorry.
So are we.
So are we. Yeah. You're going to get a brand new, fresh, out-of-the-box, low-end MacBook Air. This is kind of like, you know what this is? It dawned on me just now. Oh, Mike's going to love this.
I probably will.
Yeah, what's the bit they do in Top Gear where they put the celebrity in the reasonably priced car?
Yeah, star in the reasonably priced car.
Star in the reasonably... Yes, that's exactly what this is.
We need to come up with some sort of rhyme for this.
Yeah, I know.
Something air. What can rhyme with air?
Yeah. This is
We'll come back to that. We'll spend the next 20 minutes.
Yeah, think up something cool. In any case, yeah, so that's exactly what we do with our guests. We take them and we put them into Apple's most inexpensive laptop. And that is the MacBook Air 11-inch with 64 gigabytes of storage. And when they raise that, it's going to really kill this bit. So, CJ?
Yeah.
That's what you got. What are the things you absolutely have to have on that Mac to be able to, you know, do, get your business done, and have a little fun while you're at it?
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot because my MacBook is getting pretty old. I mean, not old, but it's starting to show its age and wear. And I'm pretty
new. Now,
what
do you have?
I have a 2008, the first unibody, which was my first Mac, really, because, you know, I work for a corporation that's all Windows. It's not only all Windows. It's all XP and IE6.
Oh.
For $400,000.
I am in the exact same boat as you. It's all Dell, all Windows, all IE6.
Well, that makes sense because my company is a UK company.
Oh, well, there you go then.
I mean, do they give you cyanide pills? Like, for when you just can't take it anymore? You know, you can pop a couple and just put yourself out of your misery.
Basically, all of our machines are networked, so they don't actually have hard drives in them. I think that there might be guns in there, just in case.
Just in case you need to read.
They replaced all of the boxes, all the towers, with the empty gun cases.
Right. So this Mac, this unibody Mac, is my ice water after a day of hell. And I love it.
I gotcha.
But it's about time. I mean, I've already upgraded the hard drive and everything else I could, and it's really almost time. So I'm debating
that
right
ice
now.
That ice water's getting a little bit lukewarm, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've been thinking about this, and I'll tell you why I couldn't do it later. But for now, I'll go along with the premise. I'd say probably iPhoto. That's obvious. You can, you know, go up to aperture, but I'm not too sure about aperture on an Air. I don't know.
Okay. All right. If you had your preference, would it be aperture?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just because
I'm pretty sure the new Air could run aperture.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty sure about that. It's quite a powerful machine.
I mean,
the brand new Air.
They're really kind of fast. I mean, that SSD makes all the difference in the world. But yeah, go ahead.
Right, and that's in text edit, of course.
Yeah, that comes on it. That's a gimme.
Oh, that
you
comes
get
with
everything
it?
That comes on the machine. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you get text edit along with the machine, so you don't have to. That's not third party, so you get that.
Oh, so we're not doing like a.
Let me put it that way.
We're not doing like a Benjamin Brooks. You get nothing, and you have to start. Type of thing.
Yeah. No. Okay. No. You can't.
No, that's crazy. That was crazy town.
Okay.
Yeah. Didn't they use the OS as one of them?
Right. That counted as part of it.
Yeah. That was just too much.
All right. One password. All right. You got to have that.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm looking through my list right now. I don't know. I don't think much else. I guess iTunes you'd have to have, but. I'm taking as much as I can to paper now, and not a lot of these matter anymore to me.
Wow.
So what about things like browsers? Are you a Safari user?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, why make it harder on yourself? Yeah. I mean, it just syncs everything.
This is my thing. What about Twitter? What would you use for Twitter? Would you use the web or...
I'd prefer not to, but if you had to, I guess it's not horrible. Or maybe it is.
Yeah,
what app do you use at the moment?
Yeah. Well, Reader, too. Got to have Reader when you run a website.
Yeah. Yes. So what Twitter app do you use at the moment?
I just use the regular one. It's,
Twitter for Mac or whatever.
I don't have a lot to manage.
Yeah.
Really, I tell people I don't follow them on Twitter unless they engage in some kind of conversation with me, because that's the whole point of Twitter. And usually when I say that, people say, okay, unfollow.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, photographers are a different breed, I think, than writers, and a lot of them are there. You know, they're visual thinkers, so they're not apt to write things. And usually when they do, it's to promote. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can't blame them for that. A lot of them, this is their business. But it doesn't lend to a conversation very well.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I'm glad I talked back to you, man. Let's see. So far we've got iPhoto. You know, text edit and Safari, you get those with the machine. You know, you can't uninstall them, so there you go. you've got Reader.
Right.
There's room for Twitter for Mac, so why don't we go for Twitter for Mac? What about any, like menu bar, little utilities you've come to rely on? Like, do you use a launcher? Do you,
I use Alfred. It's not, you know, required because I don't use, like, the premium features. But I paid for it anyway because I love it. I love the design. I love the guy's attitude is, you know, unbelievable. It's just a great software. Caffeine, of course. Gotta have that.
Caffeine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're using a laptop, you've got to have caffeine.
Right.
Caffeine is like a little menu bar item and it's just a little cup that sits in the menu bar, and you can define that once you click caffeine, it will stop the display going to sleep for a defined period of time.
Right, or indefinitely.
So if you're watching, so if you're watching videos, maybe after about, I don't know, 20 minutes or whatever, the display might dim, and then 45 minutes, the display goes off or whatever. If you select caffeine, it will keep it on.
I'm going to push back a little bit on that. I'm not really push back, but I just have some questions about that. Most of the built-in apps like DVD player, I know QuickTime is this way. If you're playing something full screen, it will not put the screen to sleep.
Yeah, flash videos, don't they? Like if you're watching like a QuickTime video in the browser.
Yeah.
It still dims and turns off.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Wow, is that it? I mean,
would you keep your photos on the 64 gig, or would you want to save that externally, or would you find some way to sort of shoehorn them in?
Well, it wouldn't be possible because they couldn't fit as many photos as I have.
Okay.
But and then that's one of the reasons why I wouldn't do just the Air as it is, the base model. And what the biggest reason is we just had a fire in my condo building. And so, and it came very close, right next door.
Oh, and, wow. Wow.
I wasn't, yeah. Scary. And so I'm already like a fiend for backup. But I really, to make it as simple as possible, I like to have like a big hard drive on a main machine that I can easily back up to Time Machine and the cloud without really having to think about it at all. And it would just, I can't imagine what would happen if that fire had just come a little bit closer. That would have been horrible.
Yeah, but agreed. But you're backing up to the cloud, though, right? So at least you would have that peace of mind.
Right.
What cloud are we, what are you using to
back
up to the cloud?
I've tried them all, and they've all failed on me at one point or another. Some of them, like the famous Mosey thing, where, you're paying $5 a month, you have, 100 gigs uploaded, and then all of a sudden, nope, we've changed our price. It's now 15 a month.
Yeah.
So it's too late then, isn't it? The data's already there. Then what do you do?
Right, exactly. Because I'm also on a provider who has a data cap. So it's not like I can just keep switching services and uploading.
And re-upload all this stuff, yeah.
Right. So I'm in between now. My last one was DALI.
Okay, DALI Drive?
Yeah. And something happened.
That's the one that mimics your Time Machine, right?
Right.
You upload your Time Machine data to it.
Right, right.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah, and
how
something
does that
similar
work?
Happened.
I know Dave Kao swears by it, but how did you find it work?
Yeah, he turned me onto it, and it's basically, it works like Time Machine, but to the cloud. And then it also offers you to have a local clone at the same time. So you have something here and something there, which is the most important thing. But it can get expensive depending on how much you use. And because I had so much, it was just, it was too expensive for me. And the amount of time it was taking to upload stuff too was too much. So now I do what Steve Gibson does, the famous security expert, where I have two hard drives, one like a local backup, and then one that I keep off-site. And the off-site location changes. So I have it on a regular schedule, but there's always something in the house, something outside of the house.
Gotcha. So if that fire would have come, at least you would have had that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's certainly something I believe in. I'm a nutcase. I've got backups in my backup. I've got my Dropbox backing up to another location. No joke. So, if Dropbox tomorrow decides to change their policy or, explode, no problem. I have a backup of that. It happens every night. So that's how nutcase I am.
Yeah, that's a little bit tinfoil hat.
I mean, for anyone who wants to know, it's Strong Space. I back up my Dropbox to Strong Space. For that eventuality. I mean, I had a client just the other day accidentally delete their Dropbox. And it was nice because I could tell them, okay, well, just go to the Dropbox website and it will show up as recently deleted and click restore and boom, all your stuff will be back. And sure enough, that happened. But gosh. She was frightened to death. for a few minutes there, she like her life flashed in front of her eyes. So, I'd have to say, CJ, I'm rather impressed. I think out of all of our guests, you've come to the table, I think, with I think the least amount of stuff.
Well, I think
I'm just sitting here.
Right, I think I told you about this a couple months ago, but what really changed my mind on all this stuff was a book called The Shallows, which is basically a summary. It's a very long summary, but it's a summary of 30 years worth of research into how we read and comprehend things better and how much worse reading on the screen is for you. And it's pretty scary. Wow. I mean, it rewires your brain. It's scary stuff. If I would suggest getting it on Audible because, you know, it's a good 11 hours, I believe. But
wow.
Yeah, but it really is scary. They took people who have never been on the internet before and measured the neural pathways and how they changed after just, I believe, 4 hours of surfing. It completely rewired their brain. And it has a lot to do with the way, you know, things are presented on the screen. And once you read it, you'll see that this applies to Kindle, the iPad, pretty much everything. So that if you really want to focus in on something, understand something, and be more productive, you know, it's probably better to do it on paper. And so that's what I'm trying with everything. I'm moving my reference. You know, it's an experiment like everything I do. I'm just trying to move as much of it to paper as possible and seeing how that works.
I think that's probably one of the many things you and I have in common is that we like to be guinea pigs. we just enjoy experimenting on ourselves, right? And kind of trying new things and saying, asking questions and saying, ooh, how could, maybe if I did this, it would be better, right? I mean, I'm currently exploring a kind of enough for Patrick based idea right now and really trying to think through whether it's feasible or not, but something I definitely would like to try. I don't know. We're experimenters. We try this stuff on so that we can communicate to others and hopefully, you know, they don't have to. They can learn from us.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I love doing that. I love experimenting with this stuff. Yeah. And you know, the first time I tried this out, I published a long blog post about it, which got linked up everywhere. And I think I did it wrong. I was concentrating on just tasks when it's, you know, bigger ideas, projects and things like that that could use your most creative input and can benefit the most from being on paper. And we're both, you know, we're both very good customers of Levenger, so I'm sure they'll be happy about that.
This is true. Too good. And I've been too good of a customer for, over 20 years now, I think. I'm a big fan of paper. Everyone who listens has listened for a while knows that it is my worst habit. It's one of the things I have a hard time resisting is nice paper and pens. So, well, thanks a lot, CJ, for being on. I really appreciate it, and I'm very impressed. I think.
Well, thanks
for
having
me.
We're
like under five or six things here. I'm pretty floored, and it's given me inspiration for the experiment I have in mind. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, that's awesome. I can't wait to see it.
All right. Well, Michael, I guess that's it. We'll talk later, you and me.
We will.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks, CJ.
Thanks. Bye.